This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
And yeah, I'll just introduce my family real quickly here. My oldest daughter, Carla, in the middle of the back. My next daughter is Rachel on this side with the blue and white jacket, and her husband Glenn, and the five children on this end are hers, and they live in Gladys, Virginia. Glenn and Rachel Zaire. My daughter Krista on the other side, and her family of five, and her husband is Rod Schwartz. They live in the city of Harrisburg and have a Spanish ministry there. My husband is Bob Kaufman, and we're a happy bunch. Okay, and today our session is, yes, the treasure of careful planning. And, you know, I've learned through my long life, it's not really that long compared to some, but it's feeling longer, but I've learned through life that the dark, lonely pathways that all of us enter are pathways to invite us to open our hearts to the Father. And all through the scriptures, he met his great men of old in this way. He met them with glorious messages right amidst their blackest points, their darkest moments. And I like to look at this as he redeems our most painful places in our journey by giving us more of himself. And I like we're going to see if this PowerPoint thing is going to work okay for us. I like the definition of redeem that says he doesn't waste our sorrows. And to me, what he does by redeeming them is giving us more of himself. That's what happens when we enter the dark places of our life with him. He gives us more of himself. And it was through a desolate period back when my husband Bob and I were newly married that the Father brought redemption into my life after a long, dark period. In revealing to me how he wanted me to live and use my time until the day I die. Bob and I were married in 1973. Our first daughter, Carla, was born in 1974. And when she was 4 months old, we packed most everything we owned into a van and traveled 20 hours north to Northern Ontario to minister there with Northern Youth Programs. And that was about 40 years ago this August. And now I felt like the Lord had taken me over mountains height and stormy sea. You know the song, it may not be over the mountains height and over the stormy sea, something like that. I felt like he had taken me far, far away from anything that felt familiar to me. And there were a few staff at the mission at that time. They were clustered together on Beaver Lake, and we lived 3 miles away from the lake, amongst a wall of trees on every side of me. Thick trees. I saw nothing but trees all day long. We owned one car. Bob took that to the mission office every morning, and I saw and knew no one for the most part of every day besides my little baby girl. Suddenly, I had not one baby girl, but two, who wouldn't remember their grandparents, I was sure. When they were very tiny, I would take the pictures to them and show them their grandparents and their aunts and uncles. In the little broken-down house where we lived, a weasel resided. It changed colors as the seasons came and went. In the winter it was white. In the summer it was brown, and it looked much like a rat. I went to the library to study about weasels, to learn just what they might be, and the library book told me they're bloodthirsty animals. In my fearful, lonely existence, thousands of miles over what felt like mountain and sea, I was convinced this critter was going to latch onto my babies and eat them alive. Bob, mercifully to me, helped me push two cribs into our tiny 12 by 12 foot bedroom. This room was more intact. It had been added onto the house a number of years later. So each night, I'd stuff rags and rugs in that space under the door to keep that critter enemy out of my room. I felt like I was being swallowed alive by a tightly weaving cocoon. death and separation from the security of my past, my childhood, along with this heavy looming ache and desperation of what lie ahead, seemed to engulf me. And by now, daughter three, Krista, joined my weary heart and scared home. And that fear that my husband or my babies may be eaten alive by this ugly critter, and responsibility that was too large for my fragile emotional state, like getting these three souls into heaven, making a marriage work, no family, no friends nearby, it felt like it was too much. We've moved now to a different house. It was bigger, brighter, no holes, no critters. Well, maybe snakes in the basement, I don't know. But no, none of those crawly things up there. But it was 10 miles away from the mission activities, which was the only place that partially housed anyone familiar to me. It was in the town of Dryden, a little town along the Trans-Canada Highway, and at least when I looked out my windows, I saw something other than foreboding trees. In the winter in northern Ontario, it gets dark very early, and that only added to my gloom. Each afternoon, I checked the clock to see how much earlier I was pulling the curtains closed. At the peak of winter, by 3:45, I'd wearily drag myself to the window, and the blackness I wanted to close out seemed instead to leap into my heart. And I'd stagger from the window to this green overstuffed chair that sat in the corner of the living room. That was the years of green and gold. Remember those years? And I would fall to my knees, heaving deep pleadings to the Father, "Please, Lord, do something. Is this all there is to life? Why am I on this earth? Are you really there? What is life anyway? Why am I breathing? What is this breathing thing all about?" I went to the Word. Well, in this newer, bigger house, the bedrooms were all upstairs. And my only security, I thought, was in my little family. And I didn't want to put my babies all upstairs to sleep in their afternoon nap with Bob away all the long day. So they slept on the living room floor around me, and I went to the Lord. 2 Chronicles, see if this works. Nope. 2 Chronicles 15 is full of promises for a seeking heart. And I believed if I sat in my need long enough, the Lord would transform me. He would do something. And the Lord is with you. Verse 2, if you seek him, he will be found. And verse 3, when Israel turned to the Lord and sought him, he was found. And I took the Lord with me to the deepest parts of my current pain. And I asked him my searching questions, like, why am I on this earth? For what? To sit alone across the sea? For what? During this time, my friend Marilyn Showalter came with a new book. "This is the book," she said. "It is the book." And I'm like, if this is the book, I need the book. And I bought the book. And this book, this dates me, but some of you remember it, so it dates you too. This book is Disciplines of the Beautiful Woman by Ann Ortland. Do I have some nods? Yeah, some of you get it. Okay. So each afternoon I sat with this book, my Bible, my paper and pen, and I opened my heart to God. And it was amazing. From the scriptures and Ann's book, I learned my purpose for being on this earth. It was so simple and so concise. Two things. God and people, and connecting them together. Isn't that the most precious thing? It was a gift God gave me back during that deep, dark time of searching. These are the two all-importance in this life, God and people, and connecting the two together. I just became alive with this message from the Father in answer to my questions, and I set out to understand from him who of all the people around me I was to connect to him. Suddenly, I saw people everywhere, my baby girls, my husband, my neighbors. It wasn't just trees. It was real people. Who am I to connect to him? In order of priority, the Lord revealed to me that day that he was my ultimate reason for being on this earth. And I needed to make him first priority to my every single day, no matter what the cost or the price. According to God's word, for me to live is Christ. That is it. My second in line of authority is my, priority is my husband. For me as a married woman, my husband came next in line. As a single woman, God will show you. He'll reveal to you your priority groups. Bob was the man given to me to care for in a way that drew his heart toward the Father. That's why I was married to this man. Number three, after Bob were my three daughters, and how important for me to spend my time nurturing these girls for eternity. Beyond that, if time allowed, I could reach out to people within the family of God. And lastly, my unsaved friends needed to hear the message of Christ. And I've lived my life by these five priorities over 35 years. This has kept my heart clearly focused on what is important for my daily to-do list, and anything on my list that don't move me toward these five priorities ought to be removed. A purpose is an aim or an intention, something to work toward attaining. It's not fully tangible or tangible, A goal is something that's more specific, more tangible, that is attainable. A goal without a plan is like a dream. It's just a dream. That's the difference between purpose and goal, and you'll get that as we continue on. So to define my life, after I had defined my lifetime purposes, that list of five people groups that I needed to accomplish by the time I die, then I went on to determine my lifetime purposes by answering questions on paper to each of these five priorities. So what do I want in my walk with God by the time I die? What do I want for my marriage while we're on this earth? What do I want to see accomplished in my daughters' lives? Each year toward the end of the year, I write two or three things that I can work on for the next year that will work me toward these lifetime purposes, answering those questions. So for lifetime purposes, I'm just going to give you my ideas, just for ideas for you, but you'll find what works right for you, and that's what needs to happen. Just get some ideas. So for lifetime purposes in my relationship with God, that I may know him, which was my first, back at my lifetime purpose. Then I may know him. John 3:10. These are the three things I wrote in relation to my lifetime purpose with God. John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And number three, to walk with God as my friend, following Moses and David's example. These three ideas formulated what I desired in my walk with God while I lived on this earth to accomplish by the time I die. You know, we can zip through life, taking it as it happens, with no thought beyond the moment, and all of a sudden come to the end and wonder what we've done. I didn't want that to happen. Planning changes that course. It allows our days and hours to be spent on what we believe we're to accomplish while we're living on this earth. We have only one chance to live on this earth. My next priority relationship with my husband is my husband Bob. And I wrote these four things that I want to accomplish by the time I die in relationship with my husband. Number one, that our marriage would be above average. Average today doesn't take much. Average back then took a little more. I wanted something above average. That our marriage would not stagnate, but grow in intimacy. That our marriage would minister to and bless other marriages. And Proverbs 31, 11, and 29, that I could be the kind of wife that my husband could have full confidence in and that he could honestly rise up and call me blessed. I knew I had a lot of work to do, but I longed for that. That was a dream God gave me. I wrote it down. Next one is my... There they are. Okay, that wasn't supposed to do that. I don't know. Somehow connecting it to this system changed some of this, my PowerPoint. And then number C, my relationship with my children. I wrote down three things. Number one, that I would raise the girls to glorify God and to minister for him. Number two, Proverbs 31:28. I longed that my children could someday rise up and call me blessed. So I wrote it down as a goal, a dream. And number three, that they would grow and be in stature and favor with God and man. You know, seeing my dreams for my daughters' lives written on paper like this I had a job to do. I needed to get up off of my depression, my despair, my loneliness, and get busy leading my daughters to the Father. My church family, I sensed my dream surfacing about how I wished to minister to the Christian family. And back those years, I was so very insecure, and I knew in the depths of my insecure heart that no one would believe this desire. I didn't even know where it came from, but it was something God gave me back there in my green and gold living room. And so I decided I'll write it down, but I'm going to write it in very tiny print, only legible by me, in the prayer list section of my planner. But I wanted to pray about it. I didn't want to forget it. So I wrote it down. And that was to have a ministry in counseling and teaching women, leading them to a deeper walk with God. That was when that was surfaced, back when my girls were tiny, and it's amazing. Dream your wildest dreams, and you'll be amazed how the Lord will use you. Never would I have believed those years I could stand before crowds, that I could lead Bible studies, the Word of God, teach women about the Word of God, that I could counsel ladies, help draw them to deeper walk with Him, or be a teacher of the word. It's amazing what God can do with us. Lastly, in order of priority, was the unsaved world. The two lifetime purposes I wrote here is that I could be a testimony for the Father in public by being warm and friendly, and that I could, number two, relate to the unsaved people in my world in a Christ-like and compassionate way that would allow them to see the Father through me. So that completed my lifetime purposes. And looking at my lists made my purpose for being on this earth seem invaluable. My depression had left. I poured my heart into my new found life. God was redeeming that dark, bitter journey by giving me more of Himself. Take just 30 seconds here and jot down a dream. Something. Don't take a lot of time to ponder it. What comes to your mind quickly? Jot down one dream that you would long to accomplish before you die. Okay. Anybody want to tell us what your dream is? I won't put you on the spot. Just asking. Okay. You know, after you eat lunch and you get up here to speak, you wonder what's all in your teeth. I hope I'm presentable. Huh? Okay, thank you. Okay, next, for yearly goals then, at the end of each year, I take out a clean sheet of paper and I begin to write two or three things that I would like to do that year that would move me closer to my lifetime dreams. For example, that I may know Christ. That was my very first longing and desire back there when I was 26 years old, that I may know Him. That was not going to just happen. It takes effort to get there, to move me there. So I needed some tangible ways to lead me to that goal. So each year at the end of the year, I would write down two or three things that I could do that particular year that would move me toward those lifetime goals or purposes that I had written up. So for a particular yearly goal, I might write to study through the New Testament. Another year, I'll decide on the Old Testament. I did word studies depending on what my heart needed for that particular time. This morning in that session on attitudes by John Koblenz, it's like, okay, I thought I worked on that, all of that over the years, but I guess I got to start all over again. You know how it is. We just, I mean, word searches, I would do that type of thing, word studies. One year I made a goal to share something I had learned from the Lord with one person each day, and that did wonders in moving me toward my lifetime purpose of that I may know Him. When I grew up where in my little home, we didn't really talk about God. He was kind of the unmentioned holy figure there. But I was reading through Psalms. All the places were to talk of the goodness and the glory of the Father. And I was just touched by God to begin doing this. So I decided I wanted to obey it, and I began practicing this with my tiny little girls, and I would tell them in the morning something that I learned from God in His Word that day. Or I would tell them something I was praying about. or I would take their little hands and we would pray about something together. After I was comfortable doing this with them, I began to do it with my husband, Bob, and I began to share one or two things that I learned from God that day, or a prayer request or something. After a while, I decided I can branch out a little bit, and I would call one lady once a week, and I would tell them something I learned about from God that week, or ask them if I could pray for them, or share a prayer request with them. It was amazing what this has done for me in my walk with the Lord, to begin to talk about the goodness of God. And now hardly a day goes by that I don't talk with someone about the goodness of the Father. Dream your dreams as you sit in the presence of the Lord and develop creative ways to draw closer to Him each year. Next relationship with my husband. And you know, there are many exciting things we can do each year. These are just a couple that we can do each year to help move us together in our marriage. You know, we did date nights. I would goal to write him a note. Practicing these things 1 year and the next year, possibly the next year, it's amazing what these simple little things can do to develop your relationship with your husband in ways you never expected. Nearly 30 years of moving ahead with one or two yearly goals each year has connected Bob and I in just the ways I longed for. I look back at those 4 points that I wrote, and you know, they've all been fulfilled in so many ways. And we've taught marriage seminars together, we've spoken at sweetheart banquets, we've counseled troubled marriages, and best of all, we're so close in heart and soul. Totally love that. From one or two things each year, moving us closer together. Now, sometimes I don't like Bob at all. You know what I mean. But it's all a part of moving us closer together, they say. I should ask the expert back here, Miss Kaufman. She knows how to teach on marriage. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Okay, priority three. Okay, there you go. I think I said that. Priority three, relationship with my children. There's so many wonderful things we can do each year to help move our children to the heart of the Father. And 1 year I decided to teach in detail the fruits of the Spirit, and I studied the fruits, figured out ways to make this practical, and we purposed to do memory work each month, one passage a month. The beginning of the month, I wrote them on the verses on a piece of paper and hung them at the head of the table, and each evening meal, we would go over those verses, and within a month, we had them all memorized. It was because of making the goal to spend 30 minutes each morning with my little toddlers, filling their love tanks up, that I got it done. And, you know, we kept that thing going through most of the girls' years at home. We started family night on Tuesday evenings 1 year, and we kept that going for most of the girls' years at home. It was a wonderful time together, spending a few minutes at the close of each year, asking the Lord to show you areas to work on to help draw you and your children closer to the Father. He'll show them to you. Remember, looking after homemaking duties like laundry, ironing, all of that is a part of leading our children to the cross. Doesn't make sense, but it is. They need to see us being busy for them. And also pictures. I had this beachy Amish lady say to me one time, "Donna, I just wanted to call you so bad today and confess to you what I'm doing. I know I'm sinning. I'm not following." You know, this isn't Bible. "But I'm not following what you're teaching us to do." I'm like, "Well, what in the world were you doing, Julie?" And she said, "Well, I was scrapbooking." I'm like, "Well, Julie, scrapbooking pictures of your children is definitely a part of leading them to the Father. It shows them their value. That's the Father's love being poured on them." Okay, priority four, the body of Christ. Oops. This is making me click everything I've got up there. So the body of Christ. This ministry is to be done only after our husband and children are well cared for, and as you thoughtfully plan your days, you'll be amazed how much time you have to bless people outside of your home. Ladies today get many things done in this area. I find as I watch these young mothers, it seems like they have way more energy than we had when we were girls. But, you know, for 1 year, I tried this simple little thing of, after the house was in order and I had spent my 30 minutes of filling love tank time with the girls, I would phone a friend and just bless them. What are you doing today? How can I encourage you? Maybe in another year, I would choose to write a note to someone 2 days a week. One year I chose to start a Bible study, and the next year I chose to start a second one. You know, when you have a plan, it only takes a few minutes to get the plan accomplished. And if you let yourself dream, God will give you the plan, and you can get it done. Priority relationship number 5 is the unsaved world around us. And you know, everywhere we've lived, the Lord brings people into my life that need him. One year I goaled to visit 2 new unsaved people that year in my neighborhood. Another time I chose to invite an unsaved family to our home that year. Or we may have them for tea or whatever. Jot down 1 or 2 things you can do each year. So there you have it, a few of my yearly goals. And I need to remind you that goals are just that, they're goals. Don't become discouraged if you get your yearly dreams accomplished only 1/2 of the time. Every effort toward a goal is growth. Focus on that. Always remember, if you don't get it done one day or 1 month, start the next day or the next month. You know, there were years I only got my note written to Bob 4 times out of the year instead of 12. But 4 notes versus no notes was effort toward the goal, and it drew us together. And you know, again, this isn't for everyone. I'm quite detailed, it's my personality, but if it's for you, think and ponder, pray. Allow the Lord to show you a method that works for you to establish some lifetime and yearly goals. Now, Jesus came with one goal, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. And he spent his entire life working toward that goal. Take 30 seconds. And the first dream or lifetime purpose that you jotted down, now I'd like you to write one thing you can do to work toward that dream, to help you move toward it, something tangible. Okay, it's from your lifetime purposes that you manage your time, your daily life. So from that time of searching in my living room when my daughter Krista was a baby, I've used a notebook as a planning tool. Well, until the last 10 years or so, I'm sort of a techie person, so I've gone to the iPad. So you'll find what works for you, a notebook with paper and pen or a technology. And this notebook doesn't keep me from being busy, but it keeps me prioritized, so I get first things done first. It helps me so I don't waste time. It helps me to not do things that don't fit into my purpose for being on this earth. It's helped me to determine what things I need to say no to and what things I need to say yes to. So how about lists? Do you have lists lying here and there or muddled in your head? Before I had my planner, while I was having my time with the Lord in the morning, I would think of something I needed to get done at the grocery store that day. So I'd quickly jot it down in my prayer list or on a scrap of paper there. When I'd be in the kitchen a little later, I'd remember a phone call I needed to make, and I'd grab another little scrap of paper and I'd write down that phone call so I wouldn't forget. You know, I seemed to have lists everywhere on tiny scraps of paper, and yet they were simply nowhere when I needed them to jog my memory. You know what I'm talking about? So I learned then from Anne's book about putting all of my lists together in one notebook. And what I suggest you do, planners, if you choose to get a planner, planners come with a lot of pre-planned pages in it. You want to remove everything, keep the tab pages and the blank pages, and get little sticky tabs and put your little tab over the tab pages, over their little pre-planned title, and add your own title so that your notebook becomes you. It has each section in that is right for you. So just a few of the sections that have worked for me, my daily list, and I have a page for each day. I jot down everything I need to do that day on that daily list, and if I you know how we do that. And then menu, I just plan my main meal, and it's just one thing, beef, chicken, leftovers, and then I plan what in the morning, what I'm going to make with beef for that meal. It just helps keep me focused. I also have a shopping section. Everything gets written on that, even a Christmas and birthday list at the end of that section, so that throughout the year, as I hear my girls or grandchildren say something they would like, I just jot it in there, and I've always got my ideas ready to go. Miscellaneous, a place to keep everything that doesn't fit anywhere else. Goals, scripture, this has been a very fresh, precious section to me, where I jot scripture that has become special to me. I've got lots and lots of very precious promises, and I refer to those over and over again. Notes, I don't take a lot of notes, but when I have something, hear something, like some of that attitude stuff this morning, I jot it in there because I don't want to forget that. And my last two sections are devotions and prayer. There's a lot more about all of this stuff. I'm going over this very quickly today. It's in this little book, The Treasure of Careful Planning, and they are on sale in the bookstore down below there today if you're interested in that. I think it sells for $6.99. So I'm going to spend the last few minutes here on my devotional life and prayer life. And I'm going to pass out this little paper, and what it is you can put your name and email address if you would like. Back here, these other pages are pages of scripture prayers that I use in my prayer time, and I will go over this, but it's going to be right toward the end, so I'm going to just pass it out. But these are the scripture prayers. If you would like those emailed to you, or if you would like a copy of them, we can get them to you that way as well. So I'm going to just pass this out, and you can sign your name and email address if you would like those. So devotional life, you know, Jesus, who was never out of touch with the Father, needed time in prayer. How much more do we, you and I, need time alone with the Father if our Lord Jesus needed time alone in prayer? I like to think of my time with the Lord happening at the first best time of the day, and that can be different for everyone. It's important for me to keep that appointment time as much the same hour as possible each day. Morning, evening, afternoon, whatever is the best time for you, at as much the same place, like possibly a chair in the bedroom, your living room, your own little private throne room, and with a plan prepared, where I'm reading in scripture, what I'm doing in a devotional book, how I'm doing my prayer life, something like that, plan prepared. again, these are my ideas. I'm quite detailed, and you know, these are just to give you ideas. They're not like what you have to do. Okay, so I like each morning to get a verse, a daily verse, a verse for the day before I even leave my bedroom. I like to get this verse to have with me and available all day long. I have an app on my iPad that gives me a verse each morning, and I keep that before me all day. Many times a day I review over that verse, and it's amazing by the end of the day how much deeper the meaning is to me than my very first read in the morning. And I also like to have it available to pass along to my daughters or to friends. Many times we get someone who just needs a word of encouragement, and we've always got a verse. And then devotions for a routine day at home. Again, I like to do my daily verse, and then, I like to do a chapter or two wherever I'm reading in the scriptures at that time. Right now I'm in John. Oh, it's so blessed what you can receive just by reading the word. I think it's very important to jot notes as we read the scriptures. My hard copy Bibles were all marked up on the margins. Now I copy them in my iPad Bible. it's not hard, to just jot down your thoughts as you read those verses, things you want to say to the Father. It just makes it come very much alive to you. After I have my scripture reading for the day, I often begin my prayer time by writing in my prayer journal. I find it's very helpful to just write the current thoughts on my heart, just maybe some worship and praise, and then maybe just what's going on inside of me. It's not that I write all of my prayers out to the Lord, but just those current things. I used to use a spiral notebook, and now I have it in my iPad. And then I like to go over my prayer list, and I have a very detailed prayer list for each day of the week. It keeps me better focused, and I'll go over that in just a bit. We travel a lot, and so on weekend days or busy days or travel days, I find it hard to get my whole devotional time in. And last year at the end of the year, I felt so discouraged that I had drifted from the Lord. And so this year I made a detailed plan of what to do on those travel days and busy days. And so I like to get that verse, my daily verse each morning, and then I like to read a devotional from some book that I've chosen that is healthy, you know, a good, solid devotional book. And I do that. I can usually at least get that done, and I can usually at least get a little bit of written to the Father in my prayer journal on busy days and weekend days. It keeps me focused on the Father. Evenings, I struggle some in the evening with fears. When it's dark and I go to bed and my children are scattered all across the country and my one daughter lives on a very dangerous street in the city of Harrisburg, mind you. We wouldn't know that's there, but it is there. Lots of shootings and murders outside their door. And so I often struggle with these ugly fears, and I just need to get focused back on the Father. So I'll often use, again, read a devotional from my book or something and have a little prayer time in my writing journal. And then if we miss a devotional, I just want to say, it isn't law that we have time with God, but I know that each of us as ladies want to connect deeply with Him, and this is one of the ways He's invited us to connect deeply with Him. We have His Word with us at all times. Many years ago, they didn't have that privilege. We want to stay in His Word. It will keep our hearts growing deeper with Him. And then the last section there in my notebook is my prayer list. And, you know, over the years I've been asked if I would pray for someone, and I've quickly responded with, sure, I will. And, you know, I find if I don't go straight home and write that down, I don't remember to pray for them. So I have divided my prayer list into sections according to days. So every Monday, I come to the Father and I commit my family to God. I actually do this for the week because this is on my Monday list. I lay my hands on that little list and I just commit my little family to the Father for that week, spiritually, mentally, and physically. That covers everything, doesn't it? Then I have a personal page for myself, things I've prayed about for myself for many, many years. I add and subtract if those things actually get answered and I have grown. I remove them, but I keep adding because there always seems to be more needs in my heart. I have a list of needs that I pray for Bob every Monday, that he would grow in wisdom, that he would have strong leadership qualities, that he would be protected from sin, that he would grow spiritually, that he would desire Christ above all. I've prayed this list for Bob for many, many years. It never grows old. I still continue to pray this for him. I was challenged early in our marriage, way up north amongst those trees, by an Indian lady who came to share with us, missionary ladies, about the importance of praying for our husband every single day. We are the person God has given to him, to hold him to him, to stand behind and beside him. I keep my goal list in my Monday prayer list section, and then I pray for several church families. I have our church families divided up into each day of the week so that I can pray over every family each week. Tuesday, I pray for unsaved friends. I have a long list of people. Widows and friends have a long list of their names. Again, two or three church families. Wednesday, I pray for missionaries. Need to get something for my throat. I pray for missionaries, and I have a long list of their names, pastors, different pastors the Lord brings to me, and three or four church families. On Thursday, I pray for my extended family. Everyone is named. I have a date request and answer page here. I've loved this page. I jot down the date of my request. I then jot down the request. This is an answerable kind of request. And then I jot down the answer. as it comes in, and I have so many pages of answered prayer. It's been such a faith builder. And then three or four church families again. Friday, I pray for my immediate family, again, all of my children and grandchildren. I have each of their names listed and a few requests by each name. And I also have this list that I've prayed for many, many years for my family. It started out with my girls, things I just wanted to see happened in their lives by the time they die. That list is titled Girls, Husbands, Husbands-to-Be, Grandchildren, and Spouses-to-Be. And some of those words are things like that they would all come to Jesus, they would live respectfully, they would be godly, they would have strong prayer habits, they would have strong values, they would be wise with books, movies, music, internet games, they would have godly marriages, they would grow in contentment and gratefulness. A list of, double that I have just gone over and over and over again, monotonous-like with the Lord. But it's been such a blessing. Now my daughters are grown. I've seen the Lord answer. So I keep it before me every day for my grandchildren and their spouses to be. And then I've prayed this verse for my girls over and over all through their years. And I continue now with the grandchildren. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in stature and wisdom and favor with God and man. I will continue to pray this verse in earnest until they're all in the fold. And then is this meaning that it's time's up? 5 minutes, okay. Okay, so now we're going to get to the scripture praying. The last number of years I've gone to scripture praying, and this has been such a blessing. I have, as you've noticed maybe, if you've looked through that pamphlet of Patriot Papers I've given out, there's a whole list there of scripture that we can pray for our husband from his head to his toe. I take one or two of those verses each day that I pray for him and pray those verses for him. There's a whole list there that we can pray for our children. Many very important pieces of scripture that we can pray for our children, and I take one or two of those verses every day to pray for my children. There's blessing prayers for friends, widows. I go through those prayers as well those scripture as well. Two or three verses a day that I can pray for those people. So all of these lists keep me alert and focused on these various things to be praying about. If I don't have a list in front of me, I find it very hard to get praying done. Do you know what I'm talking about? It just sort of muddles through, and my mind is on the next piece of work I need to do, but a list keeps me focused. It's amazing how many friends, widows, unsaved folks, and other needs you can pray for in a very short period of time if you have the list in front of you. Now, remember, just as a planner isn't for my husband, it may not be for you. There might be another method of organizing your life that works for you, and that's great. Find what it is. And I just encourage you to take one or two things from what we've shared today, take it home with you, and make it work for you. All righty. With all this people coming and going, can we at least all come to the Lord in prayer yet? Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord Jesus, to just come alongside this room full of your daughters. Maybe squeeze in and around each one individually. Maybe, Father, wrap your arm around their shoulder. Maybe reach over and take their hand. You know each one. You know each need. You know what is on each of their hearts. And you care so intimately about each one of them. You care about their home. You care about their family. You care about their hurts. You care about what matters the most to their heart. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, as they sit wrapped under your arm with your hand over theirs, maybe they would want to lean their head against your breast. As you hold them there, Lord Jesus, would you fill them up with a special touch of your amazing love and grace this moment, I pray. And we bless you, worship you together as we continue to live our life in the best way we know how with your power for your glory. Amen. All righty, thank you, and God bless you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.